Jones, prepare for multi-ball.
Hello, and welcome to Pinball Nerds Podcast, coming all the way from River Hibbert, Nova Scotia, to the holes in the side of your head. Introducing your host, Orbital Albert.
That's me.
Take it away.
Hey, pinball nerds, welcome back to episode 265 of your fifth favorite pinball podcast. My name's Orbital Albert, and on today's show, we're almost going to be doing a part two with Mr. Brad Hopkins, all the way from London, Ontario. Welcome back to the show, Brad.
Nice to be with you again.
That's right. We were just chatting, and we were going to try to squish in a whole bunch of stuff into one episode, and we weren't quite able to do it. And the one thing we had teased everybody 2 days ago that we would talk about as well is Jurassic Park, of course. So last episode, we did a really deep dive on kicking the heck out the top five pins in the top 100 on Pinside that we just didn't think belonged. So everybody, if you haven't listened to that episode, you kind of want to go listen to that one first. That way you'll get to hear all about Brad and who he is and what he does and where he's from and how much he loves pinball and how hardcore he's got into it in the last year and a half. But for right now, let's just jump into my top five list that I don't think belongs, because I do want to spend the priority of a large chunk of the podcast talking about Jurassic Park. That's what this episode's about. So, all right, let's just get right into this. So number one on mine that I had here is Scared Stiff.
Okay.
Scared Stiff is at number 21. I don't like Scared Stiff for several reasons, and it's not for a lot of the same reasons other people don't like. I don't like Scared Stiff because I always, even as a kid, I didn't like Elvira. I know I'm supposed to like her because she's so voluptuous and everything else, but she always scared the crap out of me. I thought she was weird and creepy and way too pasty white. And frankly, any time that a woman's breasts are bigger than her head, it just doesn't look natural to me. So I wasn't ever attracted to that, and I didn't find that to be interesting. I got to play it at Rob Knoll's house. I hate the puns, all the puns about guys getting stiffies and blah, blah, blah. Those are just, they're not funny, they're not punny, they're not cool, they're not rad. The artwork is okay, but I don't like that spiny kind of like habit trail, that ball return or whatever it is. I just don't like that theme, and I don't like the theme. Most people hate Scared Stiff because it's so easy to get into the wizard mode and kind of like Roller Coaster Tycoon that we were talking about and Munsters. I don't mind that. I don't mind that if you can get there, you know, as a home game, you don't want it to be your only game to be that easy to get into wizard mode. But Scared Stiff, get rid of it. What do you think, buddy?
Oh, we were so simpatico on the last episode. I am the complete opposite on your main points.
Really?
So I think Elvira is awesome. I think it is a funny pin. Maybe you'd get tired of all that stuff, but I liked it.
Yeah.
And that spiny thing that runs through it was the best. I love that. Like, the visual of that. And then the fact that it's really easy, I do think that's a problem with the game. Literally, I think it was my first game. It might have been my second game. Rob was, I played at the same place you did, at Rob Knowles. And
yep.
He was talking me through what you were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the game was going on pretty good. And he was like, oh, you got a shot. You might actually make it to the wizard mode. And he had way more confidence than I did. You know how you get nervous when you're like three shots away from a wizard mode, right?
Right.
And he was like, oh, you're going to make it. You're definitely going to make it. And meanwhile, I'm on my last ball, right? Like, I could drain it at any time. And a weird thing happened where I either hit my second to last shot or last shot, and the game literally malfunctioned. And I didn't get to play the wizard mode.
Well, see, the game malfunctions at important parts. That's another reason I not like it.
Now,
Brad, don't lie to me. Were you emo in high school?
No.
Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm totally just kidding with you. I guess I think it might be partially age. I think because I was born in the, the 80s, right? Conceived in the 70s, born in 1980. I think, like, I don't know. I do remember on like, was it Saturday Nights or something? She did the intros and the outros for Scary Movies. And yeah. I would always just, when I was watching her, I'd be like, just get on with it. Just show me. You know, like that dumb, like, dinner in a movie when they're doing they're cooking the stupid food in between watching, like, Ferris Bueller's Day Off or something. And it's like, I just want to see the movie. I don't need another 2 minutes of you guys just your dumb talking that's not funny. I don't find her type of humor kind of really that funny. To me, the same way that I think that some pinball people don't like Addams Family because they get so sick of hearing it, or they don't like the song Pinball Wizard because every pinball clip on every news station ever played it. That's the same way I think that forever, a lot of people that I talk to, especially older dudes in pinball, they just tend to just love this machine. And then every time that I've played it or watched it, I've been like, it does have decent toys. The rules are pretty easy. The ramp is pretty satisfying. I think it's a little bit overrated. And yeah. I think that, like, just it really pissed me off that it's in front of Walking Dead. Like, how can Walking Dead be behind Scared Stiff? Give me a break.
I hear ya.
Yeah, the rules in Walking Dead are so incredible. I think that's Lyman Sheet's masterpiece. And I just, yeah, I have no, I would throw it out, and here's what I would put in place of it.
Perfect. You can convince me with a game that I think's better.
I don't know if you will think this game is better, but I think that if you had to throw one game in there, it would be Lethal Weapon 3.
Okay.
I honestly think Lethal Weapon's a really fun game. Every time I've played it anywhere, it's like I played it at Teolis's house, and I loved it. I kept going back to it and playing it more than some of the more modern games, more than AC/DC, like you kind of thought about throwing out, more than a lot of these other newer games he had, more than even World Cup Soccer. I was going over and playing Lethal Weapon 3 all the time. And again, I don't know for sure if Lethal Weapon needs to be ranked as high as Scared Stiff, but I definitely would get rid of Scared Stiff in the top 100 easily. And I would put Scared Stiff back at like 206 or 205 where Lethal Weapon was. So,
good.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yep.
All right.
I approve.
All right. It's been Brad approved. Everyone heard it. And if you don't agree, it's totally cool. Like, there was only one of yours I didn't really agree with. And Houdini, I still think maybe could squeeze into the top 100, but it's tight. Like, if it's not in the top 100, it'd be like 101st. You know what I mean? Because I still think the artwork's okay. I actually kind of like the steampunk artwork and that stuff. But all right, next machine. This one's going to be real easy. I know you're going to agree with me on this one. Is Aerosmith?
Yes.
And just for all the listeners, Brad and I made these lists completely separate, like three provinces away. I didn't get to hear his list first. He didn't get to hear mine. So there is going to be some overlap, which is cool. I think that means we agree.
I think you end up with overlap when people have played a lot of the same games, like that whole Munsters thing, right?
Right.
Where the people from Pinup who play it all the time, they just don't like it.
Right.
You know, and we played a lot of the same games, and of all the people that we played with at Monday Night Pinball, say like 30 people,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a different group every week, but let's say there's 30 people there. A single person I know of that said Aerosmith was a better game than Kiss. Like, not
nobody.
One. For two music fans, right? Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody says that. And you and me know more than maybe anyone else. Like, you, me, and Mark Turan were the three people who went to Thursday nights the most when it was Thursday night, all you can play. And bar operators, if you're listening, you need to do the $5, the $10, however much money it is, all you can play. You need to do that because now you're going to have people, you're going to be, you know, take your least busiest night and do that. I wish every bar did that. But we would walk in there, and quite often the only machine that would be free would be Aerosmith. And I would even say to you or Matt or Mark once in a while, I'd be like, oh, well, Aerosmith is free. And people would just be like, nah. Like, people would really, even for free, on free play, they would rather just stand there and wait. I'm serious. They would rather stand there and wait for either Star Wars to open up. I mean, that was a pretty good lineup we had at Call the Office, but I would rather play any old EM than Aerosmith. I don't know.
Yep.
And again, maybe we're being extra harsh on Aerosmith because it was one of five in a lineup that we had to play all the time, and that's maybe why we got so sick of it, right? But what I was going to put in place of Aerosmith is actually, it's actually ranked slightly higher. It's only one higher. Oh, no, it's only one behind Lethal Weapon. It's 206th, and it's Bobby Orr's Power Play.
Okay, so I have never played it. I've seen it. Mm-hmm. I've seen one that wasn't working, and I have never played it. So I have no opinion on that.
Okay.
But I'd be willing to take your word for it.
Well, I don't think...
That it'd be more fun than Aerosmith.
It's 100% more fun than Aerosmith, but... It's 100% more fun than Aerosmith, but I don't think that, like, Bobby Orr's, I don't think that Power Play should be ranked 42nd, but I think it could easily slide in the top 100, I'll tell you that. Here's the other confusing thing to me. Aerosmith is 42nd, and Game of Thrones was ranked 43rd? Are you kidding me? Like,
yeah.
Aerosmith is complicated. Aerosmith is ridiculously easy, but... Because basically the modes aren't worth much, like you said, and it's just getting that dumb multi-ball. But when I was looking at this, I was shocked that Power Play was that low. Either they didn't make a lot of copies of it, or let's be honest, 90% of 80% of people on Pinside are probably from the United States. I don't know if it's quite that high, but the highest chunk of people are from the United States, and hockey's not a big theme there. Plus, it's older. There's not tons of old, I think it's it is a solid state. There's not tons of solid states actually in the top 100, if you notice, right? There's a couple.
Right.
And the couple that seep in there are good. But what I love about Power Play is, you know, I'm big into Orbits. Both Orbits on this are so satisfying because when you hit the ball up into the orbit, it's really wide berth. It's really easy to get it up there. But when you hit the ball up, when the ball's coming back down from the orbits, there's two extra mini flippers, and I love the idea of getting to shoot out of an orbit, right? So, like, Keith Ellwin's last two games, well, his only two games, and I know they're not, like, an orbit, but there's, like, a loop shot that's, like, kind of, like, repeatable, right? And you get that shot as it's kind of coming out the outside orbit with Iron Maiden and with Jurassic Park.
Wow. Yeah, I'm looking at the layout. It is, I can totally see what you're talking about. It's really cool. And the artwork is really nice. I do have one problem with Bobby Orr Power Play.
Yeah.
Is that he's playing for the Blackhawks in this, which he only played like 12 games of his career for the Blackhawks. Most hockey fans who have never seen the pinball machine would forget that he ever played for the Blackhawks. Like, it should be a Boston Bruins.
It should be a Bruins. He's known as a Bruins guy. Didn't he play for the Bruins for, like, however many years?
His whole career minus 12 games, right?
Wow.
So that's the only knock I would put on it. But, yeah, I'm looking at it. I like those little mini flippers up there. I need to get a game with mini flippers.
I will give it one more knock. The game is actually almost too easy. Not that it's too easy, but for a game of that era, the games can last a long time because your middle star rollover of the three star rollovers there, if you hit that, it's a very easy shot. It's a fairly safe shot. As soon as you hit that, a puck comes up between your flippers.
And I see that.
Yeah, and it completely blocks. Like, a ball could not even squeeze down there if it tried.
That's funny.
So the game almost, if you're really good at shooting those orbits, even though I think there's more points in shooting the four drop downs on each side, but I mean, those aren't even that dangerous either, especially if you only go for those shots once your puck's up. But anyways, what I was saying is that it's a really fun machine. They had it at Tilt in Toronto when I played it. I've also seen it at, I think they had it in at least two other shows I've been to, they had it at or somewhere. Someone had it, and every time I've seen it, I went over there and played it, and it's one of those games you cannot just play one game of. You always feel like you left a little bit on the play field, like you could have done just one more game, you'd do that much better, right?
Yep.
So I think I saw Julie playing this competitively in a big tournament as well. I thought that was neat. Julie Dorser's shout out. So we can agree, Power Play has replaced Aerosmith. All right, the next one is Guns N' Roses, number 57. So, have you played Guns N' Roses?
Yes.
Okay. What did you think?
I don't understand why it's that high. I really don't. I'm totally on side with you. I played it in two different locations. And how many games would I have? Not that many, because I just didn't like it. Like maybe 7 games total. But, yeah, I just didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, 57. So we're saying this machine is really almost in the top 50. I mean, if that machine, just think about it this way. Let's say that you changed the theme of that, right? And the theme was just something lesser liked, like a Librarian's Revenge or some boring theme. That machine would be ranked like 250th or 300th. It's only ranked that high because it says Guns N' Roses on it. Now, the one thing I do like about it is the GNR ramps. Have you seen those? So pull up a picture on Pinside or wherever if you have to. The one ramp is a G for guns, and the other ramp's an R.
Okay.
Like the habit trail, to bring it back, are those letters. So I think that's really, I think that's neat. I don't think we need another Guns N' Roses pinball machine. I don't think that we need any more like 70s and 80s metal band, whatever, you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't think that we need those. I think we have more than enough of those.
I made that recently, and they pointed out to me that Guns N' Roses is the top money-making touring band in the world right now.
Really?
Yeah, I was surprised too. I didn't fact-check it, but...
Well...
People like Guns N' Roses.
Yes, and Guns N' Roses, I don't know, what is it like? What's their big song, November Rain or something? Or I don't know. Purple Rain? No, that's the wrong person.
Welcome to the Jungle was the first song that I heard, I remember where I was at. So I was in either grade 9, 10, or 11. I had a friend who was super into music, and it was back in the days. So this is mid-80s, or mid to late 80s. Anyways, it was 2 or 3 years before almost anyone had heard of Guns N' Roses. So their first album was like they sold tapes out of the back of a truck, right? And somehow it made it all the way from California to a small town in Ontario. And my friend who was really into music had gotten like a copy of a copy of a copy of it. And he was like, Brad, you have to listen to this. And yeah, it's great. And I've been a Guns N' Roses fan for a long time, but they're one of those bands, I think they had 3 good albums maybe, and that's it.
And
then
everything past that was kind of, that's what a lot of people say, like Appetite for Destruction was
Use
good.
Use Your Illusion 1 and 2.
Use Your Illusion. See, that's where I kind of like, I would sing along to Knockin' on Heaven's Door, but like my favorite song by them, of course, is Welcome to the Jungle. I don't know, like, you know, I also like Paradise City. I mean, who doesn't like Paradise City? Sweet Child of Mine, I'm really kind of sick of. I've heard a lot of that. But it's just, and it's not even the theme. It's just that machine itself. And like you said, if they're the top, you know, if they make more money than any other touring band on the planet, that speaks for itself that every person who has got to play that machine, who's a big Guns N' Roses fan, they have tons of fans, probably would rate it maybe slightly better than it should be because they love the theme. Now, I don't think the game is horrible. I just don't think it should be in the top 100.
All right, what were you going to replace it with?
I am going to switch it with, and this is probably the most controversial one, and this one I really, really do think should be in the top 100. I am so confused to why it's not. Number 216 on Pinside's top pinball machines is Stern's 2008 machine. Any clue what I'm talking about? Can you think?
I'm going to guess. I'm not sure that's the right time. Is it Monopoly?
No. Monopoly was a little bit before that. I would not put Monopoly at 57th. But I do like Monopoly. No, it's Indiana Jones.
Okay.
I must be the only person on the planet. What's that?
I'm good with switching those two.
Yeah, okay, good. I love the 8-ball multi-ball. I love playing 8-ball multi-ball when it gets down to about 6 balls. 6 balls is about the most I think most people can play in multi-ball with, and it seemed to be manageable for me. Just the fact that I'm playing pinball at like very often and with 5 balls cradled up, I could get 5 balls cradled up on one flipper, and not like once a week, but like almost every time I got into multi-ball, I would get a 4 or 5 ball cradle up on one side, and I would just keep hitting jackpots with the other side, like constantly. And maybe the game's too easy for people. I would speed run getting into multi-ball, and I could do it in under a minute because that the big wide berth for the it's like a light curtain that tells you if the ball's gone through there up on that. So it's really easy to register hits on it. You don't even have to specifically hit a switch or specifically hit a bash toy to move it back a certain amount. So just hitting that light field is so fun. I actually enjoyed both of those scoop shots, which no one does. The ramp shot was just easy enough, but not like overvalued. I don't know. I liked going through all the modes. I could get through all them. I didn't ever beat Wizard mode, but I got to like the mini Wizard 4 or 5 times. Everyone, I think what happens is everyone just says the other Indiana Jones is so much better, which it is. I agree, it is better, but I do not think that if the I think if the other Indiana Jones did not exist, the Williams Indiana Jones never existed, and this 2008 Stern came out, I think that people would love it and it'd be in the top 100 easily. So I'm going to put that one up to 57th and say, see you later, Guns N' Roses. Why don't you head down to the friggin' Paradise City?
I agree with pretty much everything you said.
Awesome. Okay, the next one we're going to get rid of here is. And this one you probably will disagree with from what I can tell, because I think you like the theme. It's number 64 in the list, and it's Elvira and the Party Monsters.
I'm fine with getting rid of that too. I don't get why those are so low. Like, they're fine,
Right.
but yeah, but there's hundreds and hundreds of pinball games. Like, I'm not sure that that one deserves to be in the top 100 either.
Good. Well, I think you're going to like the replacement because you already mentioned it, but I would replace this one, honestly, with Hot Doggin'. I do think Hot Doggin' is a top 100 game. You already agreed with me on that. We already talked about it in the last podcast, how much we love, the drop down targets. We don't mind the floatiness. It's good for new players. The only thing that machine is really bad for, you know what it is, Brad?
No.
It's your back.
Oh.
Because those super wide bodies are so freaking heavy, getting them down the stairs is gonna hurt your back, man. Like,
Oh, for sure.
they are, I hear they're like an extra 100 pounds more, which frankly, the weight of like, current pinball machines is heavy enough, thank you very much. So
I almost brought my Demolition Man when I bought that to bring it home. Yeah, they're heavier.
yeah, is and Demo Man, people say Demo Man is like the best wide body out there. I think it's the best, like newer wide body, but I don't know if it's, that's a conversation for another podcast. But yeah, I would replace it with Hot Dog. And the same thing I said about the other Elvira, it's not even that I think Elvira and the Party Monsters is a bad game. You play it for a long time. I know that. Like, the game can go for quite some time if it's not set up for tournaments. So I guess that would be a negative, but I just can't stand the theme. And because I can't stand the theme and the game's not that good, I gotta put Hot Dog in its place. All right, ready for the fifth and final one?
I'm ready.
This is absolutely ridiculous, and I'm shocked that you didn't see this. Number 76 on the top 100 pinball machines, the top 100
Oh, not
pinball
the pitching
machines.
bat.
It's a slugfest.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
Explain a
I
pitch
heard
and
it.
bat to people who don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I heard. Well, the Poor Man's Pinball Podcast, which we need to give them credit for this whole idea. We got it from them, right? That's one that they picked.
Yes. And
Yeah.
when they picked that one, I was like, okay, I 100% agree with you on that one. And I didn't want to copy a lot of their list. I don't think we have. But, and to be fair, I think I was a lot of times, I'm not going to lie, even though I love pinball podcasts, I'm falling asleep quite often. Like, usually, once I'm tired at night, I literally will take my phone, I'll put on a pinball podcast. My secret, so I don't wake up Danielle, is kind of like putting it underneath my pillow. So it's like the microphone's like 2 inches from my head. And I usually fall asleep while listening to a pinball podcast. I don't always get up the next day and restart it, like, let's be honest. But I will go back and listen to that Poor Man's Pinball podcast, because Drew and Ian, you guys are the best. Super entertaining. They are the best. You love their podcast too, right?
Absolutely. So you're my favorite streamer, but they're my favorite podcast.
Okay. Well, hey, I will take that. I think I'm also a better streamer than I am a podcaster, to be honest, which is, like I've told you before, 5 minutes into doing a live stream with Ian Hayward, I decided I'd rather do live streaming. Yeah. I like podcasting, but I think that you can tell that Drew and Ian are legitimately good friends and have been good friends for a long time.
Right. Yep.
And that's what really puts the magic into that podcast. So any of y'all listeners out there, if you haven't heard it, go listen to it. But let's be honest, if you're listening to me, you've probably heard of them. Okay, so Slugfest. Now, to be fair, I put an exclamation point here, or an asterisk, I guess. And I said, because this pitch and bat, this Slugfest, the pitch and bat, which is really you press a button and then you press one flipper button to try to hit a ball into something. To me, you don't have to have ramps to be a pinball machine. You don't have to have pop bumpers to be a pinball machine. You don't have to have drop targets. You don't have to have stand-up targets. You don't have to have ramps. You don't have to have orbits. But if you don't have any of those things, it has none of those things. If you have none of those things, if you don't even have two flippers, it only has one flipper, for God's sake. Is that even a pinball machine? So I took out Slugfest, and what I put in here instead is Stargate.
Okay, I love the fact that you put in Stargate, because I didn't really want to talk about Drew and Ian's lists.
Right.
But that's one that they didn't like, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's sorry. Maybe I explained it wrong. That's what I'm saying, is I'm saying Slugfest is 76, and I want to replace it with something else, but I can't replace it because I don't even think it's pinball. So I'm going to replace Stargate. But apparently, you like it.
So you don't like Stargate?
No.
Those guys don't like it either. So we played a lot of Stargate, right?
Yes.
Like at Mike's house.
Yes.
I think it's a looker. I think it's a beauty.
It looks gorgeous.
I like the feel of the shots.
Can you shoot that pyramid shot, though? Like, I just suck. I can't shoot it.
No, yeah, totally I can. And I might be biased, because I think I've done well on that machine, too.
Like at Lopple or something like that, or a tournament?
Well, yeah, like I played at Mike's quite a few times, and mm-hmm. right, like, even like just playing games for fun and stuff. But I can totally see, like, I'm in the minority. A lot of people don't like it.
Well, everybody hates the callouts, even people who like the game. But nobody says the game's ugly. It's a beautiful game. The back glass is really cool. I like that. It's kind of a little bit cheap in tournaments, but I like that you can do that light plunge, like the soft plunge, and then the ball comes back on the habit trail and goes right across the play field, and then you start that automatic multi-ball at the start. I like that other shot, that wider shot for the mining or whatever it is, the gold or something, the platinum, whatever it is, the shot just to the right.
Like, you're not going to talk me into getting rid of that one. You'll have to get rid of the pitch and bat, because as you're like talking more, you're reminding me of all the things I like about that game.
Okay. We're going to keep Stargate. And now, to be fair.
And plus, people hate on Gottlieb so hard. Let them have one. Let them have one in the top 100.
Jeez. Brad's like, come on, guys, be nice.
They're so tough on Gottlieb. Everybody hates them. It's like it's their job.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, you just reminded me of an episode I'm going to do next. Or not next, necessarily, but I'm going to do a top 5 Gottliebs. It's going to be incredible. Okay, so let's get rid of the stupid Slugfest. Why that's even in there, I don't know. What I was going to say about Stargate is, unlike a lot of these other ones that I would toss in the 200s or 300s, I honestly think Stargate could very well possibly be like similar to a couple of those other machines that we talked about, like Alice Cooper's Nightmare Castle and Houdini, that have really tight shots, Pirates of the Caribbean, that if you got used to it after a while, you could. Part of the reason why I hated Stargate, though, was because whenever I'd be playing for quarters or loonies or whatever with over at Mike's house, he would play for 15 friggin' minutes and get like 9 multiballs and get to wizard mode. And then when I would play, it'd be done in 30 seconds. So maybe that's part of the reason. But I agree with you. It's going to stay. Get rid of Slugfest. And here's what we put in place of it. Ironically enough, you have this on your list as well. I'm looking at it right now. Ranked 223rd. Give me a break. Roller Coaster Tycoon. 2002 Stern. Yeah. How much time have you had on Roller Coaster? Just a little bit at Tony's?
No, Jim Wilkes. Oh,
okay.
And so that's mainly where I played it. And he had 60 games, right? Wow. He had 60 pinball games. So, yep. So to spend, like, when you have, like, 59 other pinball machines that you could play,
right.
The fact that you would play it at all, like, a second or third time, mm-hmm. really says something, right? But yep. It's a good game. It's a good game. I like it. I guess it's too bad they can't. Well, I guess they can. It needs a bit of code work, right? Like, that's the main thing.
Yeah.
But the shots are fantastic.
The shots are incredible. I mean, it's Pat Lawler, right? The shots are, as Owen would say, and Hayden gets annoyed by, my youngest son is talking to my oldest son. You know them, but some of the listeners don't know them. Owen will always be like, oh, that shot's butter. And Hayden will just be like, shut up, Owen, because he just keeps saying it. But that middle ramp of those three ramps, you can backhand it, you can forehand it, you could be blind and just be pressing the flippers randomly, and it just hits that ramp like nothing. And now that ramp is, thank God, not like the ramp in the Data East Star Wars. It's not super important. You can't keep hitting it for points. There's one mode where it's important, but what I love about this machine is what everyone else hates. Everyone else hates that it's just so easy to get into multiball. Getting into multiball is very easy as well, because power slide multiball is only given up as a mode, and you can usually soft plunge past the skill shot up into the mode start and start power slide. And for some reason, Hayden said, it always starts with one of two modes. So you have a 50% chance as you plunge that machine, you have a 50% chance of starting. It's not a valuable multi-ball, but it's fun. And it makes your ball save. You know, whenever you're playing with two balls, you're essentially in ball save. So, you know, you can really work on starting your other modes and getting other stuff done while you're in that mode. Well, you can't start other modes, but, you can work on getting closer to your other multi-ball that's actually very valuable. And what people hate about this is that you have to time out the modes. And even when I was playing with Dimas and Tony on the live stream, once or twice. I don't think Dimas did a lot. I think Tony did it once. I know I did it once or twice. I know Rob did it once. So we did like a 4-hour live stream, and Dimas got to wizard mode 4 of 5 games he played in the tournament. Tony got to wizard mode 2 out of 5 games, and I got 1 shot away or 2 shot away. Rob almost got to wizard mode. So the wizard mode's ridiculously easy because the mode starts are easy and are plungeable at the start of your ball. Extra balls are easy. Getting into multi-ball is easy. So overall the game is pretty, even your left flipper, if you just hold your left flipper up when the ball's coming out, it will feed to a dead bounce on the right flipper. And then you get a very simple, almost 99% of the time, easy cradle on the left. But I love that game. What some people don't like is that you have to time out the modes. And so you can play the machine 2 different ways. So my top score on my Roller Coaster Tycoon is 32 million with an asterisk. And Hayden knows it's there. Hayden thinks it's cheating, which it kind of is, to time out modes. And he just thinks it's boring and not fun, and you're overusing your flipper coils, right? So, but the 32 million, a couple weeks into having it, I just said, screw it. I'm going to see how high of a score I can get with timing out modes. And I got to the mini wizard mode twice, because I just timed out every mode. I just literally cradled up, waited 30 seconds, started the next mode, cradle. And then I went to the mini wizard mode. I don't know if you've ever seen the mini wizard mode, but you have like 5 minutes of an unlimited pinball balls. Well, up to 6, because that's what's in the machine. And the machine just keeps shooting out more balls and more balls and more balls constantly. I'm purposely draining all the time to try to get my 3 jackpots, to get my super jackpot. The super jackpot shot is just hard enough. I get it about 1 in. If I don't have other balls on the table confusing me, I can shoot it like 1 in 3. But during a multi-ball, it probably takes 10 shots at it to get that super. And usually the time, like Pat Lawler and whoever coded this thing, did a perfect job, because usually it takes 4 minutes to get to have your super available, and then you've got one last minute to try to get the ball to loop around, because you can only hit the super. Well, it can ricochet, but you can only get a direct shot with the upper right flipper. So as you can tell, I absolutely love Roller Coaster Tycoon. Roller Coaster Tycoon, Sean Russell sent me a picture or at least a text telling me about, I think, a link. Maybe sent me a link to the video. I don't know if you ever saw it. It just won like best in show at either Pentastic or one of these smaller medium-sized shows. Did you see that with the roller coaster running on top?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like, now some people don't like the callouts. I don't love the callouts, but they're not annoying to me. The sound is way better than Willy Wonka, I can tell you that. Not that that's saying much, but I don't mind the callouts. Dimas was actually just talking, him and Tony were talking about in Roller Coaster Tycoon in their latest episode from yesterday, which I have to finish listening to. Have you listened to it yet?
I have.
It's pretty good. It's about the trailer troubles, right? With the tire. And anyways, I don't know if you remember, but part of it, they were talking about multi-ball callouts, and he loves a multi-ball callout on Roller Coaster Tycoon. So I just think that people, again, they hate the theme. Let's be honest. The seventh best-selling PC game from 1999 probably shouldn't have been a theme that we made.
Right.
But if you just think of it as a roller coaster theme and a theme park theme, it's incredible. If you think of it as a PC game, and like, I loved that PC game, but it is the only PC game to ever be made into a pinball machine. Right? Because they've done Super Mario Brothers, and you know, the one guy I interviewed at Pimberg, he's doing like a Legend of Zelda or a Link a redo. But anyways, yeah, we both agree Roller Coaster Tycoon should not be like 250th of 300 machines. That's just, it's insane. It's insanity. It's a Pat Lawler machine. It's very, very well value priced. It's probably, I mean, I think it's even cheaper than Monopoly as a newer Stern, like a since Y2K Stern to buy. It's probably one of the least expensive. It's probably half the price of Aerosmith and twice the game. So, and the modes are actually somewhat valuable if you play them. But more importantly, the modes are fun to play. Like, the modes are all different. Like, there's one called Dunk the Dummy where you've got to hit one of those stupid troll doll things. And it you can kind of hit it from your bottom right flipper, but it's way more fun to use the upper flipper. And there's a really cool mode where you have to hit this weird chicken thing that spins around on the left, which I've never even seen in another pinball machine. Anyways, yeah, that's enough about Roller Coaster, but yeah, you get it.
Cool. How are we doing for time?
I think we're doing okay, but we better start Jurassic Park because we're almost at the 40-minute mark, so at least we've left a little bit of time for it. But honestly, I've only played Jurassic Park maybe three games the first day of Pimberg, two games the second day, and then like maybe two games the last day, including one game on the premium or the LE, whatever it is they have. I think they had the premium there, but most of my games have been on the pro. But I don't have that much to say about it. So yeah, tell me all the things about Jurassic Park. Like, how many games did you get at Sean's on it?
We played for maybe 2.5-3 hours.
Okay.
So they were four-player games, and Sean played long balls, right?
Right. And you were watching him play as well, so.
Right. No, I was standing there watching him play, but that actually, I'll talk about the watching people play thing a little bit later. So my overall thoughts is the game's fine. Like I'm not going to, like, beat up on it.
Right.
But I think people need to pump the brakes on best game ever talk.
Really?
Yeah.
Including me.
Well, yeah.
Primarily, are you saying primarily me?
No.
Okay,
no.
Other people too.
Yeah, no, for sure. So it, as I was like trying to find where its place is for how good a game it is, I was comparing it to other recently released games, right?
Right.
So, I don't think it's better than Iron Maiden.
No.
I don't think it's better than Deadpool. I So like, the artwork is not as good as either one of those games. The theme, I guess it's what you want. Like, a lot of people, Jurassic Park is a dream theme for them. But the integration, I found kind of repetitive. It's like, try and capture a dinosaur.
Yeah.
And then your next mode is try and capture a different dinosaur. And then your next mode is try and capture a different dinosaur. And in only like a few hours, it seemed pretty repetitive. The shots, I don't think the shots are as good as either one of those games.
Deadpool, really?
Or Iron Maiden, yeah. Now, there are a lot of shots to make, mm-hmm. and there are some really difficult ones too.
Mm-hmm.
So because I got a lot of games on it, I started to see patterns and talk to Sean about it because he had a lot more time on it than me.
Right.
So Chaos Multiball is a big multiball, and you've got to spell out letters. And the last two letters are difficult to hit, and the first letter is kind of difficult to hit. But the first letter is a drain monster. So they're like, the game is a long playing game, mm-hmm. as long as you don't use that far left area. If you shoot the far left area, there's two shots in the far left area, and just a huge percentage of drains were happening from people shooting at those two things. So for me personally, I would probably just avoid the Chaos Multiball, which is super valuable, unless you can hit the C on ball save. Which that was Sean's approach.
Okay.
Was try and make that C during the ball save, right? And then you're off to the races.
And the O shot's supposedly really hard. That's up through the bumpers on the right there or something?
It is. And then the S isn't a gimme either. But okay. Yeah, the O is very difficult. So rather than like risk a drain at some point, if I was in ball save, I wouldn't shoot for the C because I know it's going to be such a grind or you know, possibly to get that O as well.
Right.
So I would just move on to doing modes. The T-Rex multiball is really very achievable. That would probably be my first order of business if I was playing it. I'm not sure if you were talking pretty deep in the weed stuff. Maybe I'll stop talking about that stuff.
Okay, but just let's go back for a second. Tell me this. Yeah. Do you think the animations are the best animations that have ever came out on a pinball machine?
The animations are awesome. I really enjoyed watching the streaming.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched the 3 hours of, or 4.5 hours of Sean and Gamagwolf's stream. Right. And so that made it, it was fun to watch the animations, right, of watching other people play. But while you're playing, you're not really, you know, you're never really getting to enjoy animations when you're playing a game, right?
It's more for the other people. Well, but in that game, you do get to enjoy them more, I found, because a lot of times they have that thing where the post comes up and it stops the ball, and then the animation plays, and then it kind of starts, right?
Right.
But
they're really good.
I'm shocked that you don't like that artwork. Now, maybe it's just me, but I went over to Johnny Crapp's page, and yes, Johnny Crapp is his real name, and I just love that weird, it's kind of like a weird, eccentric, half retro, half modern style artwork. That literally is my favorite style artwork on the planet. Like, he did some posters for like the Pixies or Weezer or somebody. And I looked at every one of his pieces of art and I was like, dude, and I liked the art before I even went to go look at his page. But I think it was Canada or someone at some point was saying the art was crap. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like,
I don't think the art's crap. I think that Iron Maiden and Deadpool is better.
Is better.
Yeah.
I don't want people to unsubscribe from the podcast. But I mean, I just don't watch a lot of superhero movies anymore. Growing up, I watched every Batman, I watched every Superman, I watched every Spider-Man. I just don't watch a lot of there was like five of these superhero movies come out a year, and now it seems like there's almost like a dozen a year of just different, I don't know, constantly. Maybe I'm wrong. It just seems like we stopped making movies that were intelligent and creative, and we just started making constantly like the big movie studios are just always making either a Marvel movie or a Transformers movie or it just seems like that's what they were doing. And I don't know. Anyways,
well, that's true. Yeah. I don't know what it has to do with pinball. But.
It doesn't have much to do with pinball, but what it has to do with is that growing up, when I first saw Jurassic Park, the movie, I went nuts for it. I already loved dinosaurs, and it was really weird. I explained this on a past podcast. The artwork reminds me sort of retro artwork on every dinosaur toy you would have seen in Toys R Us from 1980 all the way to 2000. It kind of had this weird retro cartoony vibe that also, I don't know, I love the colors. I love the artwork. I absolutely love everything that Keith Elwin did as a throwback to the old Data East. And I love the old Data East Jurassic Park as well. I was just playing that at Spin Out Records last weekend. And I basically would play another game, come back and play Jurassic Park, play another game and go, no, I need more Jurassic Park. Play another game. Nope, I need more Jurassic Park. And I don't even think that Jurassic Park is that good of a game. I just love the theme. I love the dinosaur coming down and eating the ball. I don't know. So for me, I've never, ever, ever even... At one point, I had like 14,000 songs uploaded, and I owned like 400 CDs and 100 records. And I'm a big music fan. I've never downloaded or got any songs by Iron Maiden ever. I was never into it. But I was always really big into Jurassic Park. So what I'm saying is that if you took the Jurassic Park playfield and you put it, you know, in Iron Maiden, I still would like Maiden more, which is why I know. Now I haven't got enough time on Jurassic Park to know overall if I think it has better flow than Iron Maiden. I think Iron Maiden has incredible flow, right?
Yeah, so. No, for sure. So along those lines, another thought was for me, one of the biggest things that wins me over is how does a shot feel?
Right.
Right? Like there are shots that are just, like, joyful.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And it just didn't seem to have those. Like really? Some joyful thoughts at all, or shots that almost everybody has, right, is the Deadpool Katana shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Deadpool Snicket shot.
Right.
Maybe even better. Now, it just didn't have that. Like, our buddies, Nightmare Before Christmas, whatever it is, who knows what it is that makes it so satisfying, hitting the ball into that soup shot and then lifting your right flipper and having it go across.
Yes.
You know, from zero into the soup. Like, right. That's so satisfying. Who knows why, right? But... It didn't have any magical shots to me. Like,
really?
Or I was just like, that is awesome.
It's so funny that you said that. And maybe it's because I was just so excited to be at Pinburg. And maybe it's partially just because I love Keith Elwin and I loved him. And he's been my favorite player to watch. I'm not even going to say he's the best player on the planet, even though we all know he is. But he's my favorite. He just does everything a little bit different, a little bit cooler. He's pretty mellow about it. He's not necessarily like standing way back from the machine with this giant stance. He's kind of like just chilling, but like just playing incredible pinball while chilling. He can do the best slap saves on the planet without even like barely moving the machine. You're like, did he even move? What the hell was that? That magic, right? And so I've been excited for a really, really good pinball player to make a good game. And my very first game of Iron Maiden, I got 146 million, but my very first ball, I got like 82 million on Iron Maiden, which even to this day with the code updates, 82 million on ball one is still very good. Mm-hmm. And that was at Call the Office. I didn't get a practice game on it. It was the same day that Melkman and Speedy brought it there. It was when Iron Maiden was way over by the other bar on the pool table. And I don't even know if you were coming to Call the Office yet then when Iron Maiden first came.
I was.
Yeah. And I just know when I was playing that game, I kept thinking my very first ball, wow, these shots, wow, these shots, wow, these shots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just the flow. I love that little upper left flipper there on Iron Maiden. You can use it to hit the captive ball, even though most people don't think you can. You could use it to hit it up the ramp, but that's kind of really hard. That's sort of by luck. You can use it for those other two shots. You can use it for the three drop downs. You can use it for the tiny little repeatable loop up there. I just love the number of different new and interesting shots. I love that Keith Elwin really, I think, is, I wouldn't say he's saving Stern, because Stern didn't need to be saved. They were obviously number one for a reason, but I genuinely think that games will be different now that Keith is there, and now that Keith is bringing back. I got really sick of two flipper games. I'm a four flipper game guy mostly, Most of my top 10 games are at least three flippers, if not four. I just always want more flippers. I want more shots. I feel like all the new Stern since 2000, there's not much to do on the top half of the play field. You kind of just shoot it up there, and whatever happens, happens, because you're always just waiting for it to get down to your flippers all the time. Whereas, you know, with Maiden, and I think a little bit with Jurassic Park, you're using that upper flipper to kind of actually do skilled shots up in that top end that are including like a repeatable loop. And most of the best games out there have a cool, fun, repeatable function like that with another flipper that's not one of your bottom two flippers. But so where would you put it? This is, I got to put your, you know, I got to call you out here. Where would you put it? Just looking at the top 100, where do you think right now with how the code sits, where do you think Jurassic Park kind of should be for you?
Ooh, okay. Well, that's an interesting question. I need more time on it to find an exact spot, but I'm looking forward to the next time I play Deadpool. I'm looking forward to the next time I play Nightmare Before Christmas, Iron Maiden, Alice Cooper, Oktoberfest, right? I can wait for my next game of Jurassic Park.
Whoa. You don't think Oktoberfest is better than Jurassic Park?
I thought Oktoberfest was a joyful game. I had a lot of fun with it. There was a game-breaking problem with it, which was that left ramp was virtually unmakeable because the flipper wasn't strong enough.
Right.
Right? So that's a game-breaker. But supposedly they've made that a software fix that when you need to make that ramp, that flipper will shoot stronger. But other than that one game-breaking problem, I love the modes. I love the feel of it, the sound of it. The multi-balls, I loved everything about it. I really liked it. Yeah.
I almost thought when I was playing it, it had too many magnets, because sometimes I would hit the ball somewhere and all of a sudden I'm like, but no, why is that magnet screwing with the ball? I was trying to hit a certain shot. And like, I don't know. I do like it. I've only had a couple games on it, but I don't think it's better than Jurassic Park. Where is Jurassic Park on this top 100 now? I didn't even see it on here. Maybe it doesn't have enough reviews yet, or
maybe
I'm going to look for it. Anyways, I do agree with you that Deadpool is an incredible game, and that game is growing on me. I've listened to a lot of people talk about it. That game's got better and better and better. I think on the one machine that I got, that literally, I'm not going to call anyone out or say where it was, but when I first played Deadpool, it was like the first, one of the first, you know, it had just came to Canada, put it that way. And I don't think that Katana shot was dialed in, because I swear to God, I would nail that shot perfectly and it wouldn't quite get across to it enough, right? So it's almost like that was part of it. Like, I think once that's dialed in. But now, when I see people streaming Deadpool, I stop and watch it. I enjoy watching it.
Well, we have one on location now in London.
Where?
We have one at the Rec Room. So,
sons of beaches. Are they taking care of their machines better or no?
I just found out about it, and so I've been there twice to play it. Last night I was going to a friend's house to play poker and watch the football game, and I was more excited that it was in that area of the city so I could stop there first and play some Deadpool before. And no, it's in great condition.
Okay, yeah, but what I was getting at is, at the Rec Room before, they were like putting the machines high up at the front and all the way down at the back. Hopefully they don't do that anymore. I don't know. I literally like got in an argument with one of the tech dudes. He was like, no, we do that so the ball goes slower, so the ball creates less damage in the play field. And I said, but do you understand that the reason that you have levelers is to level the machine and, if anything else, make it faster? Like, you go to any arcade in the world and the back levelers are higher than the front. And they literally had the front ones as high up as they could go. And so when I was trying to play, and you'd think it'd make it easier, they had Guardians there. I was trying to play Guardians. It was a left out lane monster, because the ball was so floaty, you couldn't really, like, the ball never had enough speed for you to really hit what you wanted to hit. Anyways, just hopefully they're doing better with it now. Maybe me talking to that guy, like, I tried to talk to him for like 20 minutes. I was like, dude, you're making these games unplayable. And he's like, well, you know, you're not supposed to be moving the machine around at all anyways. Because I said to him, I said, well, with the levelers completely at the back, you can barely nudge the machines either. And he goes, oh, you're not supposed to be doing that, obviously. And I said, okay. Well, you know, anyways, like we're going off topic here.
I found where it is. It's 24th, which I think is fair where they've got it.
Okay.
So like some games around it, like Walking Dead's a couple ahead of it. I definitely think Walking Dead's a better game. Deadpool's at 13.
Wait, what? What number was it? Oh, Jurassic Park, right here.
24.
I'll tell you one thing. It's ahead of Willy Wonka, and that's what matters.
Yeah, right.
How they have Ghostbusters at 29th, that is very confusing to me, but we already talked about that. Brad, I only have you for 3 more minutes here. I've got to go build a chair. What's that?
It's been fun.
Oh, it's been great. Thanks so much for coming and doing the show. I don't want to put you on the spot too much, and if this answer changes in the future, that's totally okay. But I think we mentioned this, I mentioned this yesterday. I'd like to get people like you, Sean, maybe even Mike Dimas, hopefully Ian Hayward, Julie possibly. I'd like to have a group of 5 or 6 people that, A, if a cool new machine comes out, we can talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
B, if anything interesting happens in pinball, we can talk about it. C, if you have whatever, you want to talk about anything pinball and shoot the shots, we can do it. Do you think you'd come do the show again?
For sure. I've got an idea. I'm just looking at my notes, and one thing I wanted to do was give a shout-out to your super fan, Nick Greena.
Oh, Nick's awesome. Yep.
I'm going to be playing at his house tonight.
No way.
Yeah.
For TCPL.
So we could talk about his games. He's got a lot of games that I have never played before. So.
Cool. Speaking of, tell everybody what games you have.
Okay, so I've got Lethal Weapon 3, Demolition Man, Bad Girls, Blackjack, Electronimo, Abracadabra, and Flash Gordon. And I've been playing a ton crap of Flash Gordon and Lethal Weapon recently.
What is your high score on Flash Gordon?
I think like 2.7 million.
Okay. Yeah, I thought for some reason I thought it would in my head. I was thinking because you've owned it for quite a while that maybe you'd have like you would have hit a 3 or 4 because I know that even me just screwing around on at Mike's house when I didn't know the machine well, I managed to get like a I think I got like a 1.2 once. Like I've got over a million on it a fair number of times even since it came here, but I've still never got over 2.
I'm very interested once you get yours back up and running again, how much of it you play compared to everything else. Because once I get started playing it, it's, mm-hmm. I get one more game itis.
One more game itis. okay.
My Demolition Man, I can play one game and I'm good. But
right. I'm not going to label the episode. Brad thinks that Jurassic Park's a steaming hot turd, but
right. I don't.
But I am going to, can I label it like Brad doesn't think that Jurassic Park is as good as everyone thinks it is or thinks it's overhyped a little?
Jurassic Park, pump the brakes.
Jurassic Park, pump the friggin' brakes. Okay, that's what we're calling it. Brad Hopkins is pumping the friggin' brakes on Jurassic Park right meow. Last question for you, and please stay on the phone after, but I'm going to stop recording in a second. Last question for you. How shocked were you that I made A division at Pimberg?
I was shocked, not because you don't have the ability to do it, but because I figured you wouldn't get enough sleep, which it sounds like you didn't, right?
Nope.
You maybe would be drinking, which you did, right?
Oh, frig yeah, man. I started drinking hard at noon because I was like Dimas and Stanziker, like, dude, you better start drinking beer. You might accidentally qualify for A. So, but the problem was I kept drinking beers, but I couldn't drink enough because they were Coors Light, and I'm used to like 8% craft beers. So I was drinking like Mike was being super generous, giving me 2 or 3, loading me full of these bad boys between each round. And then I just kept getting looser and looser, and I was just like, you know, I was so comfortable that I didn't even care. And then I just played better because I didn't care. And then I don't know. Anyways, we'll save that for another day. Thanks so much for being part of the show today. I've got about 20 seconds here before it's going to die. So I'm going to let you go. Well, of course, stay on the line, but we're going to say goodbye to the show. Until next time, pinball nerds, eat, sleep, and breathe pinball.